I want you to look again this morning, verse 15 of our text. The Holy Spirit is very careful to include in Scripture a command about thanksgiving and praise in the context of a near absolute, for lack of a better word. Verse 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. He's speaking, of course, in reference to the thanksgiving offering in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 7, they could bring those offerings continually, but you could only really come into His presence on occasion. But now we have a great high priest. So the adverb that we're referring to in this command is this command about gratitude, you'll notice, is that word continually. Look at it carefully. Because God says that Christians now ought to give praise and a thanksgiving to God continually. And of course, we noted that the Holy Spirit was very careful to include this distinction for us for this reason. For what reason, Pastor? Well, think about that word for a moment, and now I'm going to read to you a few pages back from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want you to listen to this command. This command says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, of course, the absolute in that verse is the word everything. In everything, give thanks. So that not only are we supposed to give thanks continually, as Hebrews says, but we are commanded to do so in everything. Mark that word, everything, in your heart and your mind. And I'm going to read another text to you, this time from Colossians chapter 3. Listen to what it says. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Obviously, the word here is a whatsoever. It is another strong, comprehensive word, also connected to gratitude and thankfulness. So continually, everything, and now whatsoever. Which brings me to another text I'm going to read to you. It's just a few pages back from there. And it's Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to these words. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you think about it there, beloved, you actually have two absolutes. Always and all things. And that's not all. I'm going to turn a couple pages back to the first chapter of Ephesians, and I want you to listen to what it says here in Ephesians chapter 1. Because here, you'll find that not only does Paul list a word, he practices it. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to the saints, ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, wait a minute. Paul says that he ceased not to give thanks during his prayers. Unceasing gratitude. Now look, that's already now six terms on a list. And yes, there are other examples. Paul said in Acts chapter 24, always in all places with all thankfulness. That's actually a triple use of absolutes with the virtue of gratitude so that obviously you can see. There's a pattern in the Word of God. God is not hesitant at all. The Holy Spirit is very careful to speak of gratitude and thankfulness in the context of continually, everything, whatsoever, always, cease not, and all things. And of course, the question you might ask is why? Why do we have this boundless, limitless, unending application of praise and thanksgiving in the Word of God to our Christian life? Why offer to God praise and thanksgiving? The Bible says continually, constantly. That's what I want us to consider this morning. I want to speak on this subject. 86,400 seconds. 86,400 seconds, as you all know, is the number of seconds in a 24-hour day. That's a pretty nice daily deposit of seconds. The question is this. If you are given 86,400 seconds on this day, will you spend one of them saying thank you? Just one. When I took psychology class in grad school, I remember it was noted that to repeat something 5 times a day, every day for a month, not only becomes a permanent memory, but it also becomes the foundation for a permanent habit. So imagine if you took 5 seconds of every 86,400 that you are given, and then you do what our text commands us to do continually in every day. Imagine how it might change our lives. I can tell you this. There are different kinds of people in this room. Some people look at a rose and they gripe about the thorns. Some people look at thorns and they thank God for the rose. There are different kinds of people here. And I can assure you that those that heed and obey as best they can these commands become the latter. Father in heaven, I pray, please help us to understand why and for what purpose and what cause you have commanded in your word, especially in the New Testament, this constant concurring theme that always and everywhere in all things and continually and in everything, we should lift our hearts up in praise and thanksgiving to you. Help us to understand how and why so that our lives will glorify you inasmuch as we're creatures of great gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you know this morning, but you, as a human being, are a creature of habit. All of us are, in fact. Infants, as you know, have a habit, and the habit is sucking their thumbs, but that habit began because they started to do it way back in the womb. It's a reminder that almost always people associate habits with something that's bad. It's not just a habit, but it's a bad habit. For example, to bite your nails. Gambling becomes a habit, but it's also a bad habit. And there are a lot of bad habits we're all very familiar with, smoking cigarettes or interrupting people all the time, constantly checking your iPhone, primping in the mirror day and night, lying, swearing, eating too fast, being late constantly, exaggerating, cracking your knuckles, twirling your hair, which I struggle with a lot, as you can tell. You too? Who was that? Some bald guy just said that. I don't know who it was. Oh, Gene, okay. The habit of complaining, grumbling. The list of potential habits that we might list this morning is endless because anything can become a bad habit. But most of all, the habit of complaining and grumbling and whining and criticizing, for many people, even God's people, it becomes their absolute default position. Their auto response, whenever something crosses their path, is immediately to gripe about it. I'm reminded of a preacher of the 17th century. His name was John Broadus. He once said these words, "A thing done often is usually done easily." A thing done often is usually done easily. And again, the problem, most people only think of habits in terms of bad habits. That a habit itself is a bad thing by definition, and that's clearly not true. You know, we want our children to brush their teeth so often and so regularly, it becomes a habit. In fact, a lifelong habit. Getting up in time, exercising, reading, looking people in the eyes when you're talking to them, good posture, good grammar, a firm handshake, look both ways. You know what those are? Those are habitual things that make life easier and more productive, even more enjoyable. However, would it surprise you to know that in the Bible, disciples, disciplined ones is what the word means, are also encouraged to engage in some spiritual habits. I'm reminded of Daniel, the Bible says he prayed 3 times a day, every single day. David did the same thing at a specific time. He said, "Evening and at morning and at noon will I pray," he wrote. When Paul said to Timothy to exercise yourself unto godliness, we've noted many times, it means exercise is the Greek word gymnasia. So that, yeah, he was encouraging Timothy, even in his youth, to train and to develop and to practice, if you will, godly and good habits. He also said, put off the old man and put on the new man. And the tense there is keep putting it off and keep putting the other on. Wednesday night we studied Romans 12:2. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind, discipleship involves some discipline, learning good and godly habits. And again, how is it that something becomes habitual? And how powerful it is when it does. How does an 18-year-old young rebellious boy, a little punk, after 6 months in the Marines, says yes sir and no sir and yes ma'am and no ma'am to complete strangers for the rest of his life? You ever meet a Chick-fil-A employee when they've been gone from Chick-fil-A for 5 years? It'll be my pleasure to help you, Pastor. Chick-fil-A opened in 1946. And I guarantee you, that guy who's 80 now still says, it's my pleasure to serve you. A thing done often is a thing done easily. See, Pastor, that man complains about everything every day. You know why? In part, it's because he complains about everything. And he does so every day. I want you to think about these words in Scripture we just read and ask this question. If you cease not to give thanks, and you give thanks always for whatsoever, in everything, and quote continually, can I ask you a question? What's going to happen to you? Well, you're going to develop a good habit. And of course, as much as we preach and teach in this place that mere formality and mere ritual and vain repetition are no indication of the heart, and we preach it here all of the time, it is still extremely significant to note that this is one specific virtue that God Himself wants us to do and to practice over and over and over constantly. Understand that the Bible doesn't say in everything give money and offerings. Offer the sacrifice of cash continually. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not command, cease not, and always, in all things, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it with a check. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say to be baptized without ceasing. To take communion constantly and without ceasing. It doesn't say that. Nor does the Bible say similar things about all kinds of spiritual graces that would indeed probably become ritual. But this one is different. So that this command is clear. It is as if the Scripture is affirming that you cannot possibly overpraise the goodness of God. That in fact, thankfulness is the one virtue that must become habit. That as God's people, we must repeat, it must be ingrained in us, because no matter how often we do it, it is always good and it is always worthy, and the flesh always wants to neglect it. But Pastor, I just want to be thankful in my heart. I don't want to, you know, God knows my heart and God knows that I'm thankful. I don't think you have to take a second or 5 seconds to actually say it to someone if they did something good, or even express it to God. God knows I'm thankful. Really? If that's true, then what's the last part of the verse 4? Verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, see those words, he's going to tell you what it is. That is, here's the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Open your mouth and praise God and give thanks for what he's done. You know, I have conducted scores and scores of weddings. But never yet when I've said to the groom, you may kiss your bride, does the groom say and respond with, well, no, I just do it in my heart. She knows how I feel. I don't actually have to use my lips. It brings me back to this text. Because the people to whom Hebrews was first written, you'll remember, were first century Jewish believers who were watching their entire world change before their very eyes. All of their support systems, all for centuries, were being destroyed or replaced. This book is about that. It's about their old covenant and the old temple and the old sacrifices and the old priesthood. Their very nation, in fact, was turning into something that they could not recognize. So, what does the Spirit of God do? He reminds them of three things they could offer as a sacrifice of praise to God for continually. And you want to know why continually? Because all three of these are unchanging. All three of these that he lists continue forever. Notice the first one. It's right there in verse 14. Paul says, or the writer says, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The same word continue here. We have no continuing city to be grateful continually. We seek one to come. In other words, hear me carefully. If you're saved today, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, every Christian in the room this morning, regardless of your home or your town or your city or your nation or your place of birth, every believer here, the Bible promises and teaches, is an heir, even a citizen of a continuing city. The word continuing simply means unending. It means permanent. Look across the page at chapter 12. Notice what he said earlier about this. Verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Remember what Jesus said, don't rejoice about other things, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven? And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Look at the verse 28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. That phrase literally means be grateful and have gratitude. Look, do you realize that if you look at some of your Bible maps, you will find cities and towns, even nations, that are listed there in some of the older maps that don't exist anymore? These people were experiencing this before their very eyes. And of course, it's not just in ancient days. There were Olympic flags that flew that I saw as a kid at the Olympics that don't fly anymore. The flags don't exist because the nations don't exist. Some of you have degrees from colleges that don't exist anymore. Well, how'd you like to have a citizenship from a country that doesn't exist? Yugoslavia, no longer. Zaire, no longer. Czechoslovakia, niet. Tibet, not a country. You see, that's not true, Pastor. I saw a bumper sticker that says, Free Tibet. Okay, fine, but Tibet doesn't exist. That sticker might as well be right next to the one that says, Wakanda Forever, or whatever. It's fake. It used to exist. Remember Siam, the king and I? There is no Siam. Prussia, Abyssinia, once a nation in Europe. There was once a nation in Europe that was called Morisset. They had their own coins, their own flag. They even had their own language. And World War I obliterated it. So what is he saying? He's saying these things come and they go. But what we have here in this world is no continuing city. There's no guarantee that our beloved nation, the United States of America, will not experience the wrath and the judgment of God or the wrath and the judgment of vile nations. There's no guarantee of that. Show me that in the Bible. We have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come precisely because, beloved, there is one to come. Chapter 10, turn back a page or two. Look at verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds. Now look at this next line. And ye took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe that this morning? Is your faith so deep that if someone came, if the government came, as they did for these Hebrews, these Jews in the first century, that when they came and spoiled and took away your goods, your home, your accounts, your money, he says, ye took joyfully the taking of your goods. Why? Knowing that ye have in heaven an enduring. Their faith was so strong in that city. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Abraham rightly looked for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God? Well, if it's a continual city, let us be continually thankful. Let us do what Jesus said, to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. But Pastor, our country, I know, believe me, the last few weeks, the world, our town. Pastor, shouldn't we be continually depressed and angry and griping about all the state of affairs in this country? Well, you can if you want to, because it is bad. Paul's not denying to these Jews that it was really bad in the first century for them, and it was going to get worse. You can if you want, just don't forget that you can also be continually grateful for a continual city. You can look at the rose and the thorns and be grateful for the rose. I'm always amazed when I read of these astrophysicists and these astronomers. And these articles come out, it seems like, 4 or 5 times a year. It was one last week. They get downright giddy because they think that maybe they might possibly, who knows, have heard a faint bleep of possible intelligent life in a galaxy 5 billion light years away. Aliens. And they get excited. You believe in aliens? I mean, some of you do, I'm sure. I believe in angels. Someone mentioned that, you know, Neil Armstrong on his flight suit, it was Neil A on his flight suit, and they said, you know, backwards it spells alien. Coincidence? I think not. But you probably saw the article just 3 days ago. This prominent space scientist, this Harvard professor, he teaches at Harvard, Avi Laib. He claimed that little teeny tiny cigar-shaped asteroid is likely, he said, an alien spaceship that broke down on its interstellar journey. That it's a probe that is doing reconnaissance. He said, Pastor, I saw it, and I don't know, Pastor, it doesn't look like a rock to me. He might be right. It looks too cool. Well, you saw it. If you look closely at the picture, you'll notice that it always says in every single picture, it'll say, artist's impression. No one actually saw it. It's too far away. It travels 230,000 miles per hour. It's millions. It's far away. What they saw on a radar was a teeny, tiny white dot. It's Disney, it's Wakanda forever, okay? Now, I'm not excited about a tiny rock floating out in space or some rock floating out in some other galaxy. I am excited about the one who created the galaxy and who, with his mighty power and has promised us, and Jesus himself, God sent his son to tell us, I go to prepare a place for you. First thing you'll notice. The second thing, number two, we have an unchanging covenant. Go back to chapter 13, look at verse 20. He says, now the God of peace. I love that, by the way. Our God is the God of peace. The God of shalom that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. We serve a living Savior. That great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, wait a minute. Can I ask you why the Holy Spirit is reminding these beleaguered believers of an everlasting covenant? And he says this is a covenant that was founded not upon the blood of bulls or goats, which is what they were always used to, but founded upon the blood of Jesus Christ, who died, but we just read it, who was also resurrected from the dead. They had been watching, as the entire previous 11 chapters of this book describes, they've been watching the destruction, the waning and the waxing old, the fading, if you will, of that old covenant. Imagine what it was for a devout Jew to see his temple and then the sacrifices and the priesthood itself literally dismantled and destroyed. That's not reason to rejoice and be thankful. That is reason to weep and to question and to wonder why. And that's what they did. Except for one thing. The old covenant wasn't just destroyed. It was actually fulfilled and replaced exactly as God had always promised. You know, earlier in the book of Hebrews, it says that our Lord Jesus didn't just come and eliminate the Sabbath, which means rest. He came and to fulfill and replace it so that He is our Sabbath and our rest, and we rest in Him. In other words, look, this is not just security God's talking about. This is eternal security. And it is a constant reminder to us, it should be, that God keeps His promises, that God is keeping His promise, and that God will keep His promises forever and forever. Notice the entire sentence. Go back to verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you, see the comma? Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Continual thanksgiving for an unchanging and continual covenant of His blood. There have been a lot of books and articles, and quite frankly, silly documentaries lately, about how threatened and endangered and on the verge of extinction Bible Christianity is. And especially in America. And you know, it's just the most ridiculous notion. Of course there is apostasy. And of course evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. The New Testament told us all of this would happen 2,000 years ago. Of course. But you know what? We have read the rest of the New Testament. We have read the end of the book. And besides the fact that God has always had a remnant, it's actually after the believers are all gone and in the darkest days of tribulation that the biggest harvest of souls in the history of the world will take place. God shows in His Word that just before the flame of the candle is attempted to be extinguished, a bonfire of revival will break out in the world. And all He's saying to His people then and to us now is stop being ungrateful. Be thankful continually. And this morning, beloved, as believers, we should be thankful to the point of getting in the habit of everything giving thanks. It won't take just 5 seconds. It'll take a lot more to be grateful for what God has done. Number one, because of the unchanging city. Number two, the unchanging covenant. Number three, because of the unchanging Christ. Look at chapter 13 again in verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Notice how this great truth, by the way, in verse 8 is followed by the admonition of verse 9. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with divers or different strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. In other words, don't be carried around or worried sick over the winds of change. And you know what? We're seeing a lot of change, a lot of folly, a lot of foolishness. This world and its doctrines are always changing. But don't be carried around by it. Because He just said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So instead, rejoice in your heart. Be thankful. Be grateful. Rejoice that your heart is already, He said, established with God's grace, for He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that, you know what? On this President's Day weekend, February 17th, 2019, we have every reason to pick up the paper and to read the front page, to turn on the news and to listen to whatever they're saying. We have every reason as children of God continually, in everything, whatsoever in word or deed, always and without ceasing, offering to God the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Folks, look. As blessed believers, living in this blessed nation, we have manifold reasons to be thankful. I was reading an article about Kenya two nights ago, and the article included pictures. And with every word and with every photo, two things happened. My heart was broken, and I was praising God. Because where I am and where you are and what we have and what we enjoy and the meal that you will have 30, 40 minutes from now will be the best meal that most people on this planet would ever have their entire life. That all of this is by His grace. It's because of His goodness. It's because of His provision, because every good and perfect gift comes from above. Well, I'm not thankful I'll be thankful whenever I get what I want. Can I tell you something? If you're not thankful for what you've got, you'll never be thankful for what you're going to get. Because you've already got a lot. And so do I. We as Christians have manifold blessings. Yeah, creature comforts, amazing freedom, wonderful opportunity, free health care for all. Okay, maybe not yet. But we have hundreds and hundreds of really what are temporary blessings for which we can and should be thankful. But you know what you can add to those? All of the eternal reasons to be continually thankful. That even if the food was taken away and the creature comforts were gone, as they were in Hebrews chapter 13, we have those things that cause us that in whatsoever state, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Think about this. If 5 seconds, 5 seconds, out of 86,400, if just 5 every day for just 1 month would become permanent in memory and character, imagine what 50 seconds. Imagine what a minute. How about 3,600 seconds? That's just 1 hour over a 24-hour period. Imagine what that would do to our godly character if we would take time throughout the day, every day, continually, always, in all things, in everything, being grateful and thankful for the things that God does. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful, and our hearts are filled with praise to you for this so great salvation, for the names they're written in the book of life, and we rejoice over that. We rejoice that we seek here no continuing city, that we seek one to come. Rejoice, Father, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We rejoice and we thank you. We give you praise that there hath not failed one word of all your good promise. May we continue to be grateful and thankful, to the degree that it changes our very lives for your honor and for your glory. We praise you for that as well. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.com. That's BeaconBaptistChurch.org. May the Lord bless you.